Heavenly Father, we would pray that you would open the eyes of our heart, that we may be enlightened, that we may be blessed, and that we may be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, I confess that it was my idea to have an All Saints Day celebration today. And here's sort of the idea in my weak brain. And that is that Halloween has turned out to be, I think, the second biggest day in our American culture, second to Valentine's Day, not counting Easter or Christmas. Okay? We're talking about retail sales and all the stuff people go to. And I was, in my mind, I was saying, well, why don't we honor the idea of the All Saints and think about that? Now, some people have problems with All Saints. Who has problems with saints? Who are the saints anyway? Okay, but anyway, why should we have this day? You know, and it's true. It's true that there, I would say, the more evangelical Protestants do have a problem with the idea of Halloween and the church's Day of All Saints. They do. And when I was in seminary, it was back in Pittsburgh area, Trinity Seminary, very conservative, and some of the super conservative people would not let their kids even talk about Halloween or do anything on Halloween. And we were one of the more centrist types that did. And my thinking, and it may be bad thinking, a psychologist probably would be able to tell me, is that it's not a bad thing for Christian youth to dress up like they're evil because they are sinners and they can see the extent. They can act out, kind of. It's sort of a pretend world. But so I kind of like that idea. I'm not sure it's a healthy idea, but Sherry will fill me in, I'm sure. So we have that challenge at seminary. But the other challenge that I've found in my life is that there's this idea in some areas of Christendom to pray to the saints. And so we're saying, whoa, shouldn't be praying to the saints, okay? We need to be praying to the man, to Jesus Christ. And that's our person. That's our mediator. He sits at the right hand of God, and we in the Gloria we say, He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. That's good theology, and the saint stuff is not so good. That's the logic. But I just wanted to ask a question, and that was, what do we believe about death of Christian believers? What do we believe? What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15? What does our creed say? We believe in resurrection of the body. So, I don't know about you, but assuming I'm lucky enough to be one of the chosen and get to go to heaven, I'm going to see a lot of people that I know. Now, I'm going, when I get to heaven, it's going to be different. I don't know what it's going to be like. We're going to know them on a different level, a completely different level. But they're still there. Those are the saints. You know, you were wondering about, well, why are we doing all saints, and what does that mean? Does that mean everybody's a saint? It doesn't mean everybody's a saint. It just means those people who are believers in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they're sanctified by His Holy Spirit. Those people are saints. And that, the word is actually coming from the Latin word sanctus, which means sanctified. We are the sanctified. And that's why, actually, today is a preferred day for Christian baptism. And I was very tempted, and then I said to myself, Ted, or maybe God said to me, you're maxing out here. But what I like to do is I like to move that font over there and put water in it, and people in some traditions come in and they cross themselves with the water. Why is that important to me? Why would that be important? Well, it reminds me of who I am. I am a Christian. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. And that is a symbol, a very strong symbol. The other piece of this action here is also evident in the baptismal service. If you see that we died with Christ, we are washed and killed in the flood, and then we're resurrected. We are born anew, born again. And so there is that theology, which I really like, and that's why some churches have fonts at the back. Anyway, today was when my daughter Sally was baptized. 1981. All right. Not bad. And then Luke didn't get baptized on All Saints, I'm sorry to say, but he got baptized by the bishop when the bishop came. So is he confirmed now? Okay. I don't know. There's a whole debate. And part of the debate on the saint thing is, do we make saints at baptism? Well, my kind of reflection on this is that, you know, we often say, well, I came to the Lord Jesus Christ on this day at this time. Okay. I would prefer to say, God called me again and again and again, and I finally heard His call and answered Him. That's better theology. God is calling. God is wooing us to come to Him, to come to a deeper knowledge of Him, and to receive more and more of His Spirit. So, I wanted to talk a little bit about All Saints, and I'm going to. Why did All Saints happen now? It's because in the Druids and the Celtics in Ireland celebrated a day, and it was the Day of the Departed, in which they were also transitioning from, say, the summer-fall season to the dark, cold winter. And so they had some sort of thoughts about what the departed spirits. Remember, a lot of people are spiritual, they're just not religious. And I shared with the earlier congregation a while back as we sang St. Patrick's Breastplate. I don't know. See, I'm a big Irish fan. Jamie would appreciate that, and Carrie too, probably. I love this Irish stuff. And St. Patrick had this great grand hymn, which he taught his people. But when he returned to Ireland, remember, he was a slave in Ireland, and he escaped. And like 20 years later, he came back to evangelize these people. And when he did that, he came on a certain day so that it would take the notice of all the pagans. And so that's what All Saints is about, trying to get a good theology about the departed spirits, about what happens when Christians die. And so that's why we honor the saints. On All Saints Day, we honor those people who died in the Lord. Some churches even read a list of all their members during the prayers of the people, of all their members that have died in the Lord, just to remember them. And you may struggle with that, and as I've said, this is a struggle in theology, but I always am reminded of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Whoa! And then in the Old Testament, there's this incident. I can't remember if it's Elijah or Elisha, but they're surrounded by, you know, 50,000 troops, and they're going to get killed. I think it's Elisha's helper says, well, you know, we're going to die, and so he's like losing hope. And so Elisha just says, Lord, would you open the heavens and let this person see what I know is there. And it's in the Old Testament. All of a sudden, you could see the pantheon. You could have all the saints, the hosts of heaven. And in Hebrew, that means the army. The Sabaoth are the armies of God. And it's the great, holy, powerful God. So there is this sense of all those that are part of the host. Even in Daniel, did you notice that? Actually, if you were to look at that Daniel in another translation, you would see it doesn't say saints. It says holy ones, which is in Hebrew, you know, a kadosh. But it translates out into English as saints. Even in Daniel, they're talking about the saints are going to inherit the kingdom. So These are the holy ones. So what we have here in Ireland was Patrick and others following him using what we would call syncretism. You know what syncretism is? It's a wonderful word, and I had the audacity to look it up. Because when I looked at it, I knew the first three letters were Greek. And I thought, you know, they're probably talking about with Cretans. And that's exactly right, because Paul writes some terrible things about the Cretans in Titus. He says they're all drunkards and slackers, which is kind of uncommon for Paul. But it was a letter to Titus to warn him and to have him think about ways in which to build that congregation, which included some Cretans. But it's this idea of we're mixing different strains, different peoples, different nations. And it was actually coined back in 300 B.C. when Alexander conquered so much of the world that he had a mishmash. And it's almost like us. We're getting to be a real mishmash. So we call that syncretism. Sometimes we would use it in a derogatory saying, so we're losing our values. We're losing the bedrock of our values. And I could even reflect on that a little bit because I was interested in the names of some of the CEOs of some of these banks and some of the top people in the banks and investment, and they don't even have close to American names. So I don't know this, but my sense is that we are losing some of our values even here in America. Some people have said a democracy cannot work if it's not founded on Christian value, on Christian, the core value. Otherwise, people will manipulate it to do whatever they want, and we don't have good checks and balances on that. So just a little reflection. I'm a little off the subject. I wanted to reflect on the idea of sainthood and then look at this passage in Ephesians just briefly. And I like in Ephesians 1:3, which is not in your handout, this is where I like to hang my hat. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Blessed be. So that's part of this idea of All Saints to me is blessing God for the people that have gone on before that we knew that were excellent examples for us, that encouraged us in our walk in Christ. We're blessing God. That's what we're doing. And that was what our prayers, some of our, even the songs we're going to be singing today, are always working toward blessing God. And that's really important. You've been chosen. You've been blessed by God to be one of His. He called you, and you've been, many of you, a lot of you, maybe all of you, have been baptized and signed and sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's the deposit. Another key phrase I like is that we might live, it says might be in your translation, that we might live for the praise of His glory. That is the purpose. I mean, that's one of my most purposive statements, that I might live for the praise of God's glory. And always remembering that. And so I kind of use that in my prayers. A lot of times if I'm praying for you, that's the first thing I want to do is I want to praise God's glory. I mean, He's put us in some difficult places or we've been through difficult times and struggled, but we focus on the first thing first, the praise of God's glory. So, Paul writes, you know, about redemption, forgiveness, and inheritance. But then he sets it, and this is what I'm going to say. He's got one main point and three little subpoints. And the main point is no. K-N-O-W. You know, pronounced kno, like knowledge. No, it's no. Paul says that you would know the hope to which He has called you. This is important, I think. In our lives, in this world today, there is some hopelessness invading and pervading us. I don't know how many of you are some of you are fairly contemporary. There's a guy named Kurt Cobain who committed suicide quite a while ago. He was in the group. It was I don't know what kind of group it was. I don't listen to that. But, It was Nirvana. It's an interesting name for a group, isn't it? But he was what we call a nihilist. Nihil in Latin means nothing. So for his idea, there was nothing. The only thing we have is what is happening right now. And there is that has crept in, I think, more and more in America. You know, it's go for all you can because this is all you get. There is sort of that sense. This hopelessness is dangerous to us, and I'm sure that every day we probably run into some stuff that would cause us to start losing hope. And that's why Paul writes, know the hope to which he has called you. Know that. How do we know that? And I know it because of you folks. I know it because of I know a lot of Christians all over campus where I work and outside of campus, but there are a lot of Christians. That's how I know hope, because there are staunch Christians. Another way to know hope is this book. Because whenever things get thrown at us, the fiery darts of the devil, I think it is in Ephesians 6, we need the shield. We need all the armor of God. It's in chapter 6 of the Ephesians. You can tell Ephesians is one of my favorite books, so watch out. Okay. But that's important. Know the hope. Now, I have occasion. I've got an old friend, and I take him to breakfast with some other men from another church. And in the past 2 years, two of those men that we've been eating breakfast with have committed suicide. They lost the hope. Knowing the hope is really important. And when we know the hope, when we're grounded, then all these things, bad stuff that happens, we can resolve that because we know where our foundation is. Even though we may get buffeted by all these storms and may suffer some terrible things, we know the hope. We're on the rock of Jesus Christ. The other thing that Paul talks about is know the riches of his inheritance. There's a wealth about Jesus Christ that perhaps we haven't really dug into. Perhaps we haven't had that strong sense of God's presence in our life. Maybe we need to be asking for some of that riches of his inheritance. I like inheritance. You know, it's kind of a neat word, and it's not because it means money and riches and wealth. What it means to me, and it kind of ties into this idea that we're adopted as God's children, is that I am adopted. My parents, both of them, died in their 40s. I was only 2 years old, never knew them, and I was adopted into another family and not treated like a stepkid. Not treated like a stepkid at all. No. In fact, I inherited part of a private company which was in that adoptive family. I had no rights at all. No, those were rights were given. That's the idea that God gives us, that he's giving us this wonderful inheritance. Part of the inheritance is the saints. Yeah, I like the saints. Yeah, and there are so many neat saints in the church that we used to go to as a kid. Just some really interesting people and committed people. So I always like to think of the saints. Those are the people that went on before that inculcated us. That's part of our inheritance. Also, of course, the final inheritance is eternal life and being in the heavens, worshiping Jesus at his feet, just like in Revelation. I don't know if you've gotten any of those worship passages yet, but we probably got into the letters. And yeah, well, I'm from Laodicea, okay? If you're studying that, I'm neither hot nor cold, okay? Because I like my tea and coffee kind of just right, lukewarm. And Jesus in that would spew me out, but okay, I'm bad. Okay. The third thing, know the immeasurable greatness of his power. Know the immeasurable greatness of his power. Here, I think sometimes we're weak. Well, I know I am weak, but I am weak in knowing God's power. I don't ask for help when I need it because I can handle it, right? I'm American for Christ's sake. Whoops. Okay, so, and we're kind of independent. So I think sometimes we have to remember that the immeasurable greatness is God's, not ours. One of my favorite verses in Ephesians, it was back of the daily office in our old prayer book, it was this phrase here: glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Wow. Do you believe that? It's Scripture. It's got to be true. So, keep giving God glory and look for that power. Okay, at the 8:30 service, some folks walked in, had a visitor. Had a visitor with one of our regular folks. And she told us that, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I've lost my driver's license and I can't get back on the plane to go back home without ID. So, I heard that and I said, okay, we're going to pray right now. I'll pray as well as I can. Okay, I'm not kidding. 7 minutes later, she had the driver's license. Okay, it got stuck where it never should have been stuck. Don't know why it got stuck there, but there it is. I'm saying, well, is this the immeasurable greatness about God's power I'm talking about? Is it coincidence or is it a God incident? Well, I'm claiming it for God. Thank you, God, because this person needed to have a revelation from God, needed to have what we saw in Ephesians as the eyes of our heart enlightened. And sometimes we need that. We've got to. God is willing to provide it. We need to pray for it. So, that's the three things: the hope, inheritance, greatness of the power. Now, all this may, you know, for me, this is kind of like a gold-edged painting, almost like an icon. You know, the Greek church, one thing I like about them is they do so well with lighting, and they love gold. And so, for me, this Ephesians passage is kind of like gold of heaven, you know, and just absolutely marvelous. But, and here's one of the points I've got to say, Jesus brings all this home, doesn't he? With this Lucan beatitude, which has some fairly strong words for us, does it not? Okay, we've got to put some feet on our faith. And that is, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Can you do that? I really can't do it really under my own power because I get angry. It says, be angry but sin not. And I'd probably be angry and sin. So a lot of confessing around here, around my life. But here, remember, I'm looking for the immeasurable power of God, not my own power. So do love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse. This idea of blessing comes up again. We started with it. We're going to end with it. I remember Jim Hobby, and some of you may have remembered a couple of years ago, he did this marvelous thing. He said, here is the gospel throughout the Bible. And he just went through the Old Testament to the New Testament. And he pointed out to us that the people of God were called to be a blessing. They were blessed because they were called, in the call of Abram, especially Genesis 12. But they were called to be a blessing to the nations, a light to enlighten the Gentiles. Yes. And instead, what happened is that they don't get it, as he put it. They settle the land that God provides them. Then they want a king because they want to be like other nations. Did you hear the word syncretism? Then they hoard the blessing. And then that leads to their ultimate exile and a massive destruction. So remember that kind of theme. That's the short gospel. We receive gifts more than we could ask for, and we're called to be that blessing, blessing those who curse us. Pray for those who abuse you. Because Christ's inheritance means that we who first believe might live for the praise of His glory. So we're back to that. So, Father God, please continue to open all of our hearts and the eyes of our hearts so that we may see your revelation and that we may have a revolution in our own lives. And as we stand on the hope and know more and more of you and receive more and more of your Spirit, we pray that we may live for the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.